And as you can see, the staff has a pretty good idea. They failed you last time. They were people of little faith that I could not get through the message this morning. And the fact is, as I went over it time and again on Friday and yesterday, seeing all that I had been listening to the Holy Spirit about, unless you were willing to give me 52 minutes, 36 seconds, I will not be able to get through this message this morning. So it's going to be two messages. You get a two for guys. It'll be this Sunday morning and next Sunday morning to finish it off. We should be able to get through the first 3 points. Someone's being nasty out there. But what was that? One of my Supper Sixers? You're shaking your head, Annette, like you're blaming it on Kathy. Are you blaming it? Her initials are Kathy Atkins? Is that it? So, at any rate, you see, if you're a newcomer, you just see how much they love me. And you know, they just speak right out and tell me what a dunderhead I am or something. But anyway, so this week and next week, guys. So I thought I'd begin this morning with a fun story that I saw. It's Mr. Smith and Mr. Jones. And Mr. Smith had learned that his neighbor, Mr. Jones, had the week previously gone out and bought a box of candy for his wife and brought flowers home every day of that week. So he kind of thought, if that's the way to win the woman's heart, that he'd do the same for his wife. So he went out and he bought a big box of candy, and he bought a big bouquet of her favorite flowers. And arriving home early, as opposed to being late as usual, instead of just going in, he rang the doorbell. So his sweet wife comes to the door, and he immediately engages her in a passionate embrace. And suddenly she sagged and fell in a heap on the floor. "My goodness, what's wrong?" he's thinking. When she regained her consciousness, she explained, "This has been the worst day. Our son received his terrible report card. Mother was admitted to the hospital. The roast is burned. And the washing machine broke down mid-cycle. And to top it off, you come home drunk." "Hey guys, do you remember what you used to do to woo this lady who said yes to your proposal of marriage? You know, it's really important that you keep on doing those kinds of things. Those things bring security to your lovely lady, and they make her feel special, and that's what you want her to feel. I hope. I mean, don't give up on that stuff. Continue it." So that's something to do, guys, and I want to share with you four other do's, and hopefully we'll do three of them today and one next Sunday. Four do's for dads. The first one I want you to be aware of, and here's your fill-in, is examine your past experiences as a boy. I want you to think back as a boy and growing up in your home and what your dad may have been like and what it was that you saw in him that you wanted to emulate, or maybe what you didn't want to emulate when you became a dad yourself. If you ever thought about what you wanted to take from that those experiences with him and those things you wanted to trash. Now, as I got to thinking about that, I'm just going to focus on one particular, well, maybe two areas, but the main thing that really affected me was divorce, and that would affect the second part, I believe, of what I seemed to focus on when I was thinking about my boyhood days. As most of you know, my dad and mom got a divorce when I was 10 years old, and that really rocked my world. As you know, Kelly and I share the same dad, but our moms are different. My mom was my dad's first wife. Kelly's mom was my dad's second and fourth wife, and he had five of them. Our dad had a problem. But the thing is the focus, when you think about your experience as a boy, for me, to use as an illustration, hoping the jar, man, your experiences, because the message is primarily for you. You know, it crosses genders. But I'm really speaking to you guys today. I don't care if you're a dad, a stepdad, a granddad, a person who wants to be a dad, or just a man. I want to speak into your heart today. I don't get to go to a lot of guy meetings where I get to speak into your lives other than talking to some coppers before they go out in the field. But for me, it was divorce, as I was saying. You see, my mom was divorced and remarried once. My dad, as I told you, was divorced 4 times, married 5 times. My mother on my grandmother on my mother's side, because I have no idea anything about my dad's side, because I believe some of his package issues came with the fact that he was the baby of 6 kids. And back in the Depression, he and his sister just above him were adopted out by his mom and dad. He never really got to know his mom and dad. I never got to know anything about my grandparents on that side. But even into the family he was adopted into, Dr. and Gracie Seidel, they would get a divorce after they adopted my dad. And he would be raised by Gracie, who I called Nanny. And she was the best, the absolute best grandmother this kid could ever have. But on my mom's side again, her mom had her at age 17. And my grandfather, her first cousin, was Grandpa Tim. But then I had a Papa Clyde. And then I had a Papa KT. KT meaning Kermit Thatcher, and his last name was Belcher. And I asked my mom when I was about 8 or 9 years old, as we're driving out to see my Grandma Sherry, her mother, and Papa Katie, who's my grandfather? And she said, Grandpa Tim. Then who's Papa Katie? He's my father too. Then who's Papa Clyde? Well, he's my dad too. Well, they're both stepdads, and I don't understand the step thing. All I know is mom's got 3 dads, and we're a weird family. So it led to a lot of confusion, all the divorces in the family, but my grandmother Sherry, as you can tell, she was married 3 times, divorced twice. Well, her mom came over from the Isle of Madeira. She had married a Scotsman who was a barrister in England at the time, and meaning a lawyer, and last name Forbes. So they came over, my great-grandmother divorced him and married Ping. And she was with him until he died, and she never remarried. So I come from this long line of people who are divorced. And so you would think, because my brother by the same mother and father, he was divorced. But I decided, again, looking at dads, wanting to figure out my own experiences, what I would take into my marriage with Kathy, what I would not take into my marriage with Kathy, and that was divorce. Because divorce affected me terribly, and I didn't want it, one, to affect anyone. I didn't, you know, divorce was to be anathema, and so it is supposed to be. But we know that it happens in 50% of marriages, 75% of second marriages. So a troubling thing. And so I wasn't going to. Kathy's been pretty mad at me once or twice, 3 or 4 dozen times over the last 48 years. But we've never consulted an attorney. I mean, we've been really mad at each other. You know, it's all her fault. I know, honey. I'm not telling anything out of school. So, at any rate, those are, you know, there are certain things you're going to take. My dad was very faithful to his profession. He showed up to work. He didn't let them down. I showed up at work. I went to work. I worked and I worked and I worked. My addiction was work, and I was a workaholic. So anyway, I wasn't going to bring divorce into our family. So guys, think about your past experiences as a boy and how it has affected you, and then those things that really need to be tossed out. You may need to go to your spouse. You may need to go to your kids, and you may need to talk with them about, you know, I've been thinking about this, and I haven't treated you in the way you should have been treated because of the way I was affected as a kid. And I hope you'll forgive me and name what it is that you're talking about and ask him or her to forgive you. Then I want you to read aloud with me Romans 12:2. You see that in your notes? I want you to use your manly voice, okay? If you know what a command voice is, please use that, gentlemen. Ladies, if you want to join in, you can. But again, I'm focusing on your men this morning. So let's read this aloud, Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. Let's stop there. Guys, is your husband awake? Okay? I really want you to hear what the Holy Spirit asked our Heavenly Father to tell Paul to say to us. I want us to hear it as we read it, because it's him who's talking to you. He wants you as his man to be doing something specifically. This isn't just fun scripture reading, fellas. Dads, husbands, men of God need to be leaders in this. So let's read it again, fellas, okay? With your manly voice. Let's begin. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. We need to find what it is that God the Holy Spirit uses to change us. I wish I had a pastor at the time that I was a brand new husband and beginning to start a family. I wish that Pastor Wells, who has since gone to be with the Lord, would have sat me down or the church down and spoken directly into my face about these things that are so necessary to be a good Christian dad, a good Christian man. If you want to experience lasting change in your life, you need to refocus your mind, fellas. You know, we get carried away. I used to with sports. You know, we couldn't miss that game. If we T-voted it and someone told us the ending, my goodness, our world came to an end. There are other things that draw us away from the very one that does not get our attention. We need to refocus our minds, because where our focus goes, you've heard it said before, our energy goes. And if our focus is on the Lord Jesus, then the Holy Spirit will be helping us to move energetically, enthusiastically in that direction. Because he has so much to share with us, so much to model for us in the Gospels, that we can be the dads that our kids need, the grandfathers that our grandkids need. And if you're a stepdad, don't step back from this. Hopefully you've talked this over with the children's mother. But nonetheless, as a stepdad, you still need to be that godly man in their lives. If you look at your notes specifically, you need to change your thought patterns from focusing on what you may want to focusing on what your Heavenly Father has said. And in this way, whatever you focus on is what you move toward. You know that in what you do in your everyday life. What you focus on, you move toward. You focus on getting a new car. You begin to study everything you can, and you go get that new car. When you decided that you saw this particular woman across the room that you wanted to get to know, you focused on how you were going to get your energy to move you in that direction to see her. I love that amen. You see, Abba Father offers his heart to you men, and he offers you the way to see that your life is transformed. But you have to focus on him. You need a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. The second do is tenderness. Tenderness. Consider with me Ephesians 6, 4. Let's read this aloud, guys, okay? Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You saw that earlier this morning. The words, bring them up. Ektrepho autos. It means to nourish or to feed. But we're not talking about going to the market, providing the funds for the groceries. We're talking about you as a spiritual leader. You need to be this person who is ektrepho, who is nourishing, who is feeding your kids, spiritually speaking, along with the wisdom that you give them as they have to deal with the everyday world. But look at Ephesians 5:29, the verse there contains the same Greek words describing how a man feeds and cares for his own body. In 5:29 it says, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes, feeds it, and cherishes it, just as Christ did the church. So the context there, Paul is talking to the Ephesian church family, and he's using Christ's relationship to you and me, the church, as the illustration to the way we as husbands are to be with our wives. And we feed our own flesh. We take care of our own selves. And he says there, and cherishes it. Thalpo. The idea here is to protect, to bring security. But it is a pregnant word that also talks about care, companionship. In the context of your wife, she wants to know that you really care for her and that you're going to do what you can to keep her protected and that you enjoy her companionship. Except when you're driving and she's seat driving. Ha, honey. Don't put your head down. So, Calvin translates bring them up as let them be kindly cherished. Let them be kindly, sympathetically receiving your love, the kind of love that we see Jesus administering to his bride, agape love. So Calvin translates, bring them up and let them be kindly cherished, and goes on to emphasize that the overall idea is to speak to one's children with gentleness and friendliness. When my son was a teenager, and I'm sorry, Ronnie, when I wrote this, as I forewarned you, I didn't know you'd be here. But when my son was a teenager, and now that my grandsons are teenagers, they have told me in so many words, Dad, you're our hero. Granddad, you're our hero. You're our man's man. They've talked about, you know, you spent 6 years in the Air Force. Four of those years, you were a non-commissioned officer. You were a forward air controller. All of those things were kind of impressive to a young man. I'm not particularly, as you know, a very tall man. But in my prime, when I was working the streets, I enjoyed so much arresting high-grade misdemeanor folks and felons and taking them to jail. But you may not know this, but when I greet my son and when I greet my grandsons, I hug them. And I don't just hug them, I hug them tight. And oftentimes, I'll kiss them on the neck, sometimes on the cheek. These are my sons, my grandsons. You see my grandsons. Most recent picture. Here's Grandpa. Here's the grandsons. Still do that. Still do that. When the boys, when I speak about Bryce and Jalen, when they spend the night, and I happen to be going up to bed first, I walk around the couch where they're laying out, and I take their heads, and I give them a great big kiss on top of their heads. Tenderness. Men don't get hung up on the culture that says real men don't show affection. Get rid of that. Let it go. My dad's generation was like that. Not all the generation was like that, but my dad, I can only remember him hugging me once. And that's when I graduated from the police academy. It's the only time I can remember is hugging me. I never heard my mother, I knew my mother loved me, but I never heard her utter the words until about 6 years back when I looked her in the face and I just said, Mom, I love you. And she said, well, I love you too. Many in that generation just didn't do those kinds of things. But guys, don't get hung up in that real men don't show affection, because either I'm some kind of a weird guy, and I give you that in some things, but real men show tenderness. Real men do that. The fact is this, here's your fill-in. Men, we are to be tender. Men, we are never manlier than when they are tender with their children and grandchildren, whether they're holding a baby in their arms, loving their grade schooler, or hugging their teenager or adult children. Would you show that photograph, please? You may have heard of this man, Elton Trueblood. In your notes, I've given you a long citation where you can